There are certain media artifacts we all associate with the civil rights movement. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, the fire hoses knocking down demonstrators in Birmingham, Alabama, and songs like this one.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday.
But it turns out the music you think you know from that time is only a fraction of what's out there. There are hundreds of other 60s songs to which almost nobody ever paid attention until very recently.
Here's a freedom song for all your freedom fighters out there everywhere. And when you sing, remember the wonderful ones who lost their dedicated lives for this precious purpose and won't be around to see it through. Now sing, sing, every one of you.
Well, sometime I wonder,
is there freedom in this world?
Richard Paul explains.
The thing that made it possible for the civil rights music to disappear is a small little plastic disc with a big hole in the middle of it. Something called a 45 RPM record.
We all praise him, Martin Luther King. Yes, we all praise him, Martin Luther King.
45s were the MP3s of their time, maybe 50 cents to buy and really cheap to make. Today, we think that anyone can just record a song and get it out to the world. Turns out, you could do it 60 years ago, too. Bob Darden is a professor at Baylor University. Back in the day, he says, on any city street corner in America,
there was a small little studio where you could go in with your group and sing a song. Or maybe two.
For $50, the owner would give you 50 copies that you could sell after a concert or out the back of your car. Now, every 45 had two sides.
One song was designated for radio airplay. That was the A side. That was the side DJs were given and promoted and asked to play.
The B side, though, no one ever paid attention to. Quick, what's on the B side of Louie Louie? See? What's on the B side of Sounds of Silence? No one knows. And that's the secret. This hidden music was sung by sacred music performers, but these weren't church songs. What Bob Darden discovered by listening to long-discarded gospel 45s is that on record after record, the A side is a religious message, the B side is 100% political.
Many of the gospel artists we are just now discovering used that B-side to give a message of support and hope for the civil rights movement at a time when it was very dangerous to do so.
They've been ran over by horses and been by dogs. Through the suffering, they still can smile.
Bob made this startling discovery when he first started Baylor's Black Gospel Music Restoration Project, which today, with 25,000 recordings digitized, is the largest collection of gospel music in the world. The songs come from old records, cassette tapes, and 8-tracks. Bob got them from people like Ramona Curtis.
I have to tell you, I love contemporary music, but if you're not going to sing a hymn on Sunday morning, I don't want to be in your service.
She's a Methodist churchgoer whose minister father collected all manner of gospel records.
Whenever I hear the old school gospel music, I really do remember Sunday mornings, the smell of coffee and bacon to the nose. But to the ears, it was always gospel music. The Dixie Hummingbirds, the Voices of Tabernacle, Reverend Leo Daniels, that music to me gives me strength.
Along with her father's collection, she also gave Bob one-of-a-kind recordings, like the album put out by the Voices of Christ Choir. She sang with them as an undergraduate at the University of Texas, Arlington.
The way I grew up, you know, we were singing, God me, oh thou, great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. These aren't just worship songs. There are stories about struggle, about freedom, about knowing where your help comes from. It's therapeutic, and so it's so important.
While Ramona donated LPs, what Bob mostly got were 45s. Thousands of these disposable, long-forgotten songs that families had stashed away over the years. A curator looks at a record and then flips it over. That's how Bob figured out that an entire class of songs had been hiding in plain sight for 50 years. Performers did this for a practical reason. Being a politically active African-American was dangerous. We all know about the physical danger, but that was only part of it. Dr. Brigida Johnson is a professor of music at the University of South Carolina.
If you had a loan and people found out you were politically active, sometimes the bank would either call for the loan to be paid in full or they would increase your rates. If they were found to be involved with the Freedom Riders or voting rights, they sometimes were evicted from their homes.
When teachers were seen protesting, they came back on Monday to find that their job had been ended.
Well, I'm grateful to the NAACP. Well, I'm grateful to the NAACP. Well, they have my mother, father, sister, brother, and me. I'm grateful to the NAACP.
They addressed things like the good news and about going to heaven and salvation, but they also talked about things that were going on in the world, not just the afterlife, usually offering a spiritual or religious solution for those problems that people were facing back then.
There would be no segregation.
These songs were part of two venerable American traditions. One is the message song. Bob Maravich is a record collector and editor of the Journal of Gospel Music.
When recording was taking off, you would have country singers and a few sacred singers doing songs about topical issues like the Titanic. And this is particularly important because, that was how you got news.
And within that message song tradition, there's another distinctly African-American tradition. Hiding messages inside of songs. Bob Darden.
Gospel music and the spirituals were one of the few avenues where African Americans had their own voice, where they could say and sing exactly what they were feeling. Now, sometimes those words were coded to keep white people from understanding it. And other times they weren't coded, but because you weren't part of that culture, you didn't understand what the singer was saying.
He had a dream.
There is an unbroken line with many of these spirituals that were used in the same way in the 1840s and 50s as they were used in the 1950s and 60s.
Sending a message undercover, but just a light cover, so that anyone who wanted to find it then or now could do it, long as they knew where to look. For Studio 360, I'm Richard Paul.
You can hear some of those freshly unearthed civil rights protest songs in full at studio360.org. Our story was made possible with help from Arts Edge, the digital learning program of the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C.